Seth Meyer. I'm a research assistant professor at the University of Missouri, Food Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri.
Seth, you're going to be speaking next week at a Farm Foundation meeting in Berkeley, California, on transition to a bioeconomy. Speaking on a panel on risk and uncertainty, the title of your talk, Policy Risks and Consequences for the Biofuels Industry. Tell me a little bit about some of the things you'll be discussing in that presentation.
Well, we've got a wide variety of policies that are in play in the bioeconomy, specifically for the biofuels, ethanol and biodiesel. You know, we've got blenders credits, so we've got tax credits, we've got tariffs, we've got mandates, and each of them play a unique role in the market. And each of them play a different role depending on some conditioning assumptions. Under very, very high oil prices like we have today, the policies play really different roles. The importance of each policy is quite different than if we would have a return to oil prices that we've seen in the past. Also, the policies seem to play a very different role depending on if you actually have a crop to supply the biofuel market. You know, we've got a great deal of uncertainty of the size of the crop we'll have this year with all the flooding in Iowa, and it has an effect on which of these policies are important and whether mandates are binding, and they might be binding if we had very low oil prices, but they may be less binding at high oil prices. But you also have to have a crop in order for these policies to play out in a specific way. So what I'm really going to talk about is the role these policies have in the market, what role they play under different oil prices, and then at least talk a bit about how uncertainty with crop size may also play in the market.
Well, let's take a few of them individually, because, of course, the ethanol industry in particular is under a great deal of pressure right now. Let's first talk about the renewable fuels standard that was just passed in December.
Okay. Well, okay, the RFS, these mandates are essentially specified quantities of biofuels that will enter into the motor fuel market. So it sets a specific quantity that must be blended in total. Now, several months ago, before we had any issues of production in Iowa, I would have said that at least in the near term, if we have very, very high oil prices, then the mandates are not supporting ethanol production necessarily. The mandates sit there set a specific quantity to be produced, but if oil prices are very, very high, there's an incentive in those markets to produce beyond the mandate anyway. So the mandate has very little effect. And specifically in the near term, before we were having these production problems in Iowa, the mandate would not have been binding, so any call to waive the mandate, at least, and I'm talking here about kind of the conventional ethanol mandate, which is in the near term the important one, any calls to waive that would have been largely ineffective because it was the oil price that was pushing production. Now that we're seeing a very large run-up in corn prices, lots of uncertainty about the size of the ethanol production, those mandates have all of a sudden, there's much more of a possibility now that they become binding. So, you know, you look at the mandate and you say high oil prices, well, high oil prices make the mandates less important. Only if we have a crop to supply those ethanol producers. In the instance when we start getting a short crop, those mandates all of a sudden become very binding again. It's a very complicated question. It's hard to make a single statement which says oil prices are high, mandates aren't as important. Well, that's true as long as you have a crop to make ethanol with.
And I guess that really is the bottom line. Let's talk about the blender's tax credit and the tariff, which are really tied together because we probably wouldn't have one without the other. Yeah. The Farm Bill did lower the blender's tax credit by a few cents anyway. What do you see the effect of that having? And
the importance of the blender's credit in how much ethanol produced is, again, it depends on the situation we're in. The importance of the blender's credit really depends on the setting that you're in. If oil prices would moderate and the mandates would become binding, if we're talking about the tax credits in the presence of the mandate, if oil prices were to moderate and then the mandates would become much more binding, then it's not the tax credits which are really driving production. It's the mandates. It's not the tax credits, it's the mandates. But those tax credits become more important or have a bigger effect on production if we have very high oil prices and feedstocks to make that ethanol with. So if we kind of have a normal crop size of crop, but we have very high oil prices, then those blenders credits do play a role in determining how much ethanol production we'll get. So it kind of depends, you know, if we say how important are those blenders credits in determining how much ethanol production we're going to get, we really need to know, are we going to return to $80 a barrel oil? Are we going to have $150 a barrel oil? And are we going to have a more normal crop size production? There are big, important contextual elements to this that really tell you whether those tax credits play a role in production. But in very basic terms, if oil prices are very, very high and we have kind of normal crop, those tax credits do play a role in production.
How important do you think it is, as far as production, supply and demand of biofuels, to have all of these things, to have the renewable fuel standard and the blender's credit and the tariff?
They each play their role, and it depends on the, again, this depends on the context. If you were to, they have some underlying redundant support in certain circumstances. If you remove one, you may not see a very, very large effect in certain instances because it may not play much of a role. Again, we go back to the fact that if oil prices are very, very high, then it may appear that the mandates are not important and they are somewhat redundant support because, you know, oil prices are very, very high, and if we had plentiful feedstocks, if we're producing above the mandate anyway, how important is it? We don't really need it. Or if you take it from the other standpoint of oil prices fall and the mandate is holding everything up, the blender's credit, removing the blender's credit in that instance may not seem very important. So there is a little bit of redundant underlying support, but each of them plays a very different role in a different context. The importance, which one is important, depends very much on where oil prices are going to be, and you know, one plays a very supporting role in one instance, and the other plays a very supporting role in another instance.
FAPRI just did recently come out with a study as far as different biofuel scenarios and how oil impacts and policy impacts.
The study is really to look at, you know, these different combinations of policies and which policy is important. It's, again, this, some of the policies are redundant under kind of our baseline scenario of, if you remove the blender's credit, the mandate offers a certain amount of support. If you remove the mandate, the blender's credit offers a certain amount of support. But the important thing is it's very contingent upon how much, you know, what's the price of oil, and do you have sufficient crops, you know, do you have a short crop and it makes it difficult to produce ethanol? So the paper is really an assessment of the role that these different policies play in the market and when are they important. And, you know, at high oil prices, it's the tax credit that is playing, that the removal of the tax credit is a big deal. At the low oil prices, it's the removal of the mandate that may have the bigger effect in the ethanol markets.
And I guess this is really the bottom line, and the fact that you had 500 different possible scenarios, weather, production, other market influences. We can't even tell. I mean, from one day to the next, things are going to be different. Nobody was anticipating a 500-year flood in Iowa. I mean, you can't really have policy, you know, that's going to have to take into account anything that could happen from one day to the next.
This gets back to some of the focus of the presentation, which is we don't have a full set of regulations from EPA on this new energy bill. So we don't have regulations in place. We may see preliminary ones this fall, but we don't have any at the moment for the new energy bill. They may use other tools for safety valves in the market. And then we have the other aspect of, you know, we have these unexpected shocks like huge acreage losses in Iowa that, although our stochastic model attempts to calculate some of these variabilities in yields, you got to have a crop in order to meet the RFS. Otherwise, you're going to drive those prices up for grains up quite quickly. So all of a sudden, even with very high oil prices, those mandates become very important once again. We try and incorporate all these stochastic elements. So we're going to vary yields, and we're going to vary oil prices. And we did this in January, and yet we've seen oil prices exceed most people's expectations out there in the market. And, you know, that changes the dynamics of which policies are important. And then you add to that, all of a sudden, an unexpected change in yields, and it changes which policies are important yet again. So, you know, you would say, well, if you predicted high oil prices, you would say, well, the mandates are irrelevant, but the blender's credits are important. But if you didn't anticipate the yield, then you may have gotten it wrong, because all of a sudden, you know, people are talking about the RFS being binding this year, and so then the mandate is important again. So it's really a context, it's the context of oil prices and supplies and a whole bunch of other conditioning factors that are really telling you which of these policies is the important one, or which one of these policies is the one that's driving production